be tempted. Second, not only was Jesus led into the wilderness, the devil, who is also called Satan, tempted him. The devil. We get that word from the Greek, by the way. The Greek is diabolohon. That's where we get diablo in Spanish. They take it more closely, but it's the devil. And that word means to engage in slander. Isn't that interesting? That Paul believes that slander and gossip are two of the most dangerous sins because they are really fashioned and encouraged by the devil. That word in the Greek actually goes back long before the Greek was used for the New Testament. It goes back to the 5th century B.C. Greek, which is called Ancient Greek. We, in the New Testament, that is Koine Greek, which is the next evolution of Greek. Today is Modern Greek. So you think as a seminary student, you've learned all this Greek, and you're going, oh, so I think I should go to Greece. That would be great. Want to go to Greece? No? Okay. Anyway, we go to Greece, and I'm thinking, I know Greek. I won't get lost. There's a problem. It's a very different Greek today than Koine Greek. You look and you go, I don't know that word. I don't know that word. I don't know that word. What in the world is going on? What did I learn all of this for? Well, has nothing to do with learning it so I could go on a trip to Greece. It has to do so that I could learn and understand the New Testament. 5th century, that's just kind of amazing that it comes back that far. So even the Greeks understood the concept of evil before the New Testament. They must have understood it because the Greeks actually, during that period of time, did study and look at Old Testament. So that's another story for another time. So the devil makes three translations, three temptations. And Jesus gives three responses. So what are they? Well, in the first temptation, Matthew 4:3, the devil says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, Jesus has just finished 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. And that's a pretty good temptation. I got to tell you, if I've been on a diet and I've not been eating sweets and I've been a really good boy doing it, and you pull out a piece of cheesecake and say, you know, as much as you've done, it won't hurt you for one. Right? Now, that's a temptation. Now, Jesus, he hasn't had anything, any food whatsoever. And Satan says, tell you what, I happen to know that if you are the Son of God, you can make those stones into bread. Satan's counting on the humanity of Jesus to take control. Because the God part, this is really an important passage for us in many ways. Because the God part isn't hungry, right? Does that make sense? The God part's not hungry. The God part never has to eat. The God part is, by definition, pure energy, among other things. The human part is really hungry. Yeah, the human part is going, oh, what I wouldn't give for a Snickers bar. Satan's offering bread. Satan is doing a couple of things here. He's going back to what worked with Adam and Eve. Man, did you ever think about, did you ever go back and see that connection? There is a connection there, because in Genesis 3:6, it says Eve saw that the tree was good for food. Satan's telling her, there's nothing wrong with that. It looks nice, right? And it's good for food. And God told you you're going to die, but you're not going to die. There's the lie. There's the lie. What he also says is you're not going to die and you don't have to worry about any of your future people. If somebody told you guys who are mothers that if you eat cheesecake, it will cause your children to have a serious physical deficiency. Would you eat cheesecake?
Don't think so.
No. No. Satan said, God lied to you. You're not going to die if you turn these stones into bread. Eve thought she wasn't going to die either. Why would she not eat? The tree of life appeared good to eat, and it looked delightful, and it would make her wise. And her husband, who was there with her, who, by the way, had no comments to make in this conversation that she's having with the serpent. Why didn't Adam step in and say, hey, stop talking to my wife? No, don't do that. No, he's just there. He's just watching. And so she eats. There's a spiritual principle here. When tempted by the things of the world, or even by Satan himself, do not rely on what you're hearing or what you're seeing. Rely on God's word. Don't rely on what you're hearing or what you're seeing. Does it fit with God's word? Jesus in Matthew 4:4 answers. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's found in Deuteronomy 8, 2, and 3. Second, Satan says to Jesus in Matthew, and this is not my second point, this is second to the second temptation, says to Jesus in Matthew 4:6, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from the highest point of the temple. And Satan tries to beat Jesus by using the words of God in verse 11. He says, the angels will hold you up and you won't even stub your toe. No, Jesus says, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Deuteronomy 6, 16 and 18. Do not put the Lord your God to test as you tested him at Massah. You must diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Every Sunday we say, because it's important, we do it every Sunday, we say, listen to the words of Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. If you're not sure with your soul, you replace that with all your being. Right? And all your mind. God does want you to use your mind. He gave it to you for a reason. Yeah. Unfortunately, they weren't doing that. People will try and twist Scripture. God wants us to know His Word and how to properly interpret His Word, so we do not follow false prophets or teachers. They are all over this world. We do not want to follow them. Test them. John says in 1 John, the women studied this a little while back, test the spirits What's he talking about? Test what people say and what is the spirit behind what they're saying. You know, I go into the men's shop and I put on this jacket that's got pink and purple and blue and red in it, and it's got all sorts of checks, and I put it on and I go, well, I don't know. And the guy that's there serving me says, no, that's perfect for you. Right? Do I believe him? Should I believe him? No. No. You're saying, well, that has nothing to do with God's word. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It says, don't put yourself in a position where people who will lie to you do lie to you and you follow it. Whenever someone asks me about a church that they're considering, I tell them to look at several things. First, is the church involved in a denomination? There was a time that that wasn't as important to me. It has become, because I've seen so many non-denominational churches get themselves into trouble. And there's no one there to help them. They're out there by themselves. It's like going out into the ocean to go fishing. And you're in this boat, this nice little 15-foot boat that just has a little 10-power engine, and you're fishing and you see the dark skies come up. And you go, I think I'm in trouble. And you go to pull the motor and it doesn't start. And you go to pull the motor and it doesn't start. And you look at your cell phone and you've got no signal. You're in deep trouble. Unless you happen to have gone out there with a lot of other boats at the same time. Bigger boats, stronger boats, and you go, help! And somebody motors over and gets you out of trouble. That's what happens in denominations. Do we do it perfect? No, because we're human beings. But I can tell you that there is somebody I can pick up the phone and call if there's a problem. That was true when we were in California. And we had two pastors, when I was on the executive committee responsible for the pastors, two pastors resigned. No, it wasn't because of me. But I had somebody in the denomination I could call and say, help. And you know what he told me? I'll be on the next plane to San Francisco. You don't even have to pick me up. I'll get a car. He knew where the church was because he'd been there before. I asked them, find out about the denomination and how they ordain people. What seminary did the pastor go to? Not what Bible college did they go to. Bible college degree is an undergraduate degree where you, by and large, are taught to learn stuff, not taught to think. You're taught to learn things. Don't go with an expectation of getting a PhD out of a BA. It isn't going to happen. You'll learn lots of important stuff, and you'll learn where things can be found, but it's not seminary, and it's not graduate school. This third thing is that I say is, not only find out what the denomination is and what the seminary that they went to is, find out about their story. Are they someone who came to Jesus at 50 years old, had not been a Christian at all before that, and decided at 52 they were going to start a church? Now you're looking at me and you're saying, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. No, I could cite to you probably dozens of those situations. And sure enough, people will go. God calls us to understand what we're being told. Third, Satan shows Jesus one more thing. He takes him up to the top of a mountain and says, he shows him the world and all of the future of the world. Look at all of this. There's going to be planes, and there's going to be rockets, and there's going to be all sorts of modern features, dishwashers, so that you don't have to wash your own dishes. Microwave ovens so that you can warm up something that was cold. He shows him the entire world. I got to tell you, part of me thinks Jesus threw up. But anyway, that doesn't say that in the original. He says, all this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. That's a line if I've ever heard it. I mean, it's kind of like the guy who's just madly in love. And he has trust funds and all sorts of things. And he says, if you marry me, you'll have access to all my resources. And then before the marriage, he pulls out the prenups. That's what Satan does. It's never true. There might be a little bit of truth in it sometimes, but it's not true. And by the way, Satan doesn't have the power or authority to give Jesus all he wanted to show him because Jesus already had it. That was a stupid one, I think, on Satan's part. But that's Satan's problem, not mine. What does Jesus say? Away from me, Satan! For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 15. The Lord your God, you shall fear, and him you shall serve. By his name alone shall you give glory. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are around you. If we have a problem today out in the world, it's because everybody is busy following other gods. All sorts of other gods, including that god called money. Jesus says, don't do it. Other gods have no power. By the way, other gods don't really even exist. And all these little things that you see hanging from people's mirrors and on their dashboards, the god that's got 12 arms and 3 heads, and they're made by hands. My third point. This is short. Not only was Jesus led into the wilderness, and not only did the devil tempt him, Satan is defeated and Jesus is restored. Matthew 4:11, then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. There's no big flourish, no parade. Isn't it interesting that there are people that they do something fairly insignificant, and they say, well, what did you think? What did you think? Well, that was really good. I thought that was very nice. No, but what did you really think? You know, what they're looking for are accolades, and, oh, by the way, we'll name that room for you, we'll put your 3 children into this college, and we'll do all these things, and we'll do a parade. No flourish, no key to the city. Jesus did the right things for the right reasons. Please remember that. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to do the right things because somebody's going to look at us and go, oh, that was wonderful. If nobody notices at all, God did. God notices. We're called to do the right things for the right reasons. God has already guaranteed through Christ eternal life with him and rewards beyond anything that you can imagine. A parade here, there were a couple weeks ago. As I was reading, I kept coming to this passage and it said, And they have already received their reward here on earth. The people who get the big parades, they've already received their reward. The people who have tons and tons of money, we have gazillionaires now, right? It's ridiculous. One time I thought nobody would even have $1 million. That was ridiculous. But now we have billionaires and trillionaires and pretty soon gazillionaires. They've already received their reward here on earth. Don't envy them. Some other time I'll tell you what their eternity is going to be like. Why would you want a fanfare acknowledged here on earth? The accolades of human beings last, but only for a moment. Eternal life, that's